standing between you and this time going home, so seems I get a bad session here. So the last session, which will take about 30 minutes or so, is going to be talking about the store a little bit. I'm going to do most of the session, I'm going to spend most of the time of the session inside of the Dev Center, where I'll show you how to actually deploy your fantastic application that you've built already today. And I'm going to talk a bit about how you can make some money while we're doing that as well. And I'm still the same person as this morning, so no need to introduce myself again. So first, a couple of words on the migration of existing apps. Should you already have an existing Windows 8 or Windows Phone... Is the microphone still on? Okay. A Windows 8 or a Windows Phone 8 app already in the store. So I'm going to talk very briefly about how things are going to be happening or what is going to happen to your app then. And then we're going to take a look at the new, the updated Dev Center to submit your apps. And a few words on the business store as well. So first, briefly, the migration path for existing apps. So I think this should already be clear to you after you've seen the sessions of this morning. We're now in a converged system, in a converged model. And we're coming from a system where there are several operating systems and thus also several stores. The situation up until Windows 10 was that Windows desktop apps were submitted to a store. The fact also exists, so the Windows phone apps, currently the Windows mobile apps, were also submitted to a store. Xbox had its specific store. So basically, we're coming from a situation where there's multiple stores with Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1. Those different stores were somehow merged. They weren't really merged per se like in Windows 10, but you could actually have an application which was linked to both stores and does allow you as a user, as a consumer, to download it and pay for it on one device and also have it install on your other devices. So that worked. Now with Windows 10, basically everything is merging. We're going to that one Windows, we're going to that one application platform, and also we're evolving to one store. So all these three platforms, the Windows Desktop 10, the Windows Mobile version 10, and also the Xbox is going to that same Windows 10 store. So one application platform, one store. Also, that store is going to be joined by apps which are targeting other platforms, which we can't really develop for today as of yet. So the IoT, the HoloLens, and the Surface Hub are also going to be downloading apps from that same store. The idea is that if tomorrow another device type is being added, for example, the Microsoft car, who knows, if that would ever exist, that would also connect to that same store. All platforms connect to that same store. It's not a Volkswagen, no. So that one Dev Center is the place for you as a developer to submit your applications once, and then they will be available for all platforms that you are supporting for your app. And I'm going to show you that in the demo, how you can actually configure which platforms are supporting or are supported by your app, let's say. So there's going to be one registration, one app submission as well. So up until now, what you had to do is you had to compile both the Windows Phone version and the Windows desktop version, let's say. And now it's basically just one compile, one binary which will exist and that you have to upload to the store. And from there on, it's basically all the store is taking over. You don't have to do anything else. So it's one app submission. Customer engagement, the analytics also have merged. Quite logically, it's basically one store. And also the payouts, so the amount of money that you make by selling your apps is also going to be merged. It's also going to one store and not to two or three different stores. The place where all this goodness is happening is dev.windows.com. So that's basically where you will upload your apps, where you'll see analytics, how many people have downloaded your app, how many crashes did your app get, and all those things are available inside of that Dev Center, which is reachable via dev.windows.com. And I'm going to show you that in just a couple of minutes. So the convergence part, very briefly, so we're coming from a situation only barely like 2 years ago. We were in the Windows 8.0, 8.1 era. This is actually the 2013 was the Windows 8 and the Windows Phone 8 era. So at that point, the two stores, the Windows Phone and the Windows Desktop Store, weren't merged yet. Hadn't been merged yet, so we had two consumer experiences. We actually could see an app in one store, and it's not available in a different store. It was basically something that we often saw. As a developer, you had to do all the work twice. You had to build your application twice, and literally code it twice, because you were talking to a different API. You had to upload it twice to that store, and you also had to publish it twice, make publicity for it twice, and also get paid twice. So everything was basically still separated at that point. Last year, 2014, Microsoft released, and actually at late 2013, they released Universal Apps. They announced Universal Apps, which was universal between quotes, let's say. The Universal Story at that point was not really a Universal Story. You could talk partly to the same API, so the Windows 8.1 API was shared between Windows Phone and Windows 8.1, that is. But you could also do that partly. So that still resulted in two applications being created, still had to upload it twice. However, what had become possible is for the consumer, it was basically one store. So you could actually buy an application once and have it installed all both on your desktop machine and on your phone. So you could actually share it. That is only, of course, if the developer allowed it. So if the developer said, you pay me once and you get the app on all devices that I support, well, it was possible. And that you could see by this little icon that you saw in the store, which indicated that this app was available for free. So when you buy it once, you're going to have it on all devices. And now we're 2015, and we're in that era where everything has merged, one developer experience, and of course also still one consumer experience. Now, what has happened to apps which are already in the store? So if you already have applications published, so we're coming from a situation where you have a dev center for Windows Phone and a dev center for the desktop version for Windows, for plain Windows. So basically, Microsoft has done the work for you. So the apps have actually been merged where possible. So I'm not going to go into details. So basically, they have merged the packages where possible. So again, if the developer allowed it. Pricing models have been merged automatically. Some things have not been merged in terms of pricing, but that goes too much in detail. And I'm not really familiar in what they merged and what they haven't merged yet either. And also the IAPs, so the in-app purchases, those two have been merged. So it's now actually possible to buy an in-app purchase on one device and have it also used on the other device. So that's also now plain possible. So basically, we're now in the situation where everything has been done for us. That's always good if we don't have to do the work ourselves. And for the rest, we're now in the situation where we're using one store. One last thing before I show you the demo is this thing here. I don't think anyone has mentioned it today, but there's something that was released by Microsoft together with Visual Studio 2015 in its complete format, and that's .NET Native. You may not notice, but when you build an app, it's actually compiled into IL, which is intermediate language, and that IL is the thing that you're actually uploading to the store. And that was also downloaded by whoever installed your application. Now, that resulted in the application being executed the first time a bit slower than the other times because of the fact that just-in-time compilation actually started, which actually compiled your IL, your intermediate language, into bytecode, so into machine-specific code. Now, the .NET Native initiative is something that Microsoft has started quite a few years ago, and actually makes it possible to move away from the just-in-time compilation. That's a bit easier said than done because there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. But basically, whenever you upload your app now to the store, what consumers will download is native code, which also, of course, takes out the just-in-time compilation step. And because of that, you actually gain a lot of startup time. So actually, the download will be the first run of your application will be faster. It also seems to be resulting in a bit less memory use. But of course, the first startup time is the most important thing. That was just a little side note. So let us now switch to the Dev Center, where you can actually upload all your applications that you have created so far. So let us go to. I'm going to do two things. Let's start by taking a look at that Dev Center. So whenever you want to go there, simply head over to dev.windows.com. The first time you have to register, I've already done that, of course. And so in the Dev Center, we can actually start building or start submitting our applications. All the action takes place over here on the right, and it says there a dashboard, so that's basically where you have to go. Now, before I'm actually going to do that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go quickly to Visual Studio, and I'm going to build a new application there, and we're going to try to submit that into the store by the end of the session. It's not going to be approved, of course, by then. So let's go here in Visual Studio, say create a new project, blank application. Let's call it Hasselt app or something. Just a plain universal application. And whenever that's ready, let's add a bit of XAML in there. There we go. So open the main page here. And in here, let's put a button in here or something. Just that it's not a blank application, just to have something in there. Let's say hello world, there we go again. There we go. So that's it, that's the application. Let us now try to submit this into the store. Now there's a couple of things that we have to do. Let's first build it. So while you're building it, you're of course debugging the application. So your builds are going to be debug builds. I'm running it on this machine, which is, so if you ever have some weird errors here, check that you don't have the ARM version selected here, because that won't work on the desktop machine. So either you have to take x64 or x86. So I'm using x86 here. So the app, let's hope it runs, so it actually executes. So let's run it. This should actually work. We should have to should be able to get something up and running. And when that works, we're going to try to start submitting it. So that's the app. I don't think it will pass certification. Let's hope not. But let's try to get it in the store anyway. So, well, how are we going to do that? There's a couple of things that we have to do. First, move it into release mode. You cannot upload to the store an app in debug. That's never going to work. They're going to block that. So the first thing that you have to do is build it into release. So I'm going to build it very quickly. This will take a couple of minutes. Actually, not a couple of minutes, but maybe a bit too long to wait for it. So while it's doing that, let's already go here to the Dev Center. So when you're here, you're going to see a list of apps that you already have published, and also the ability down here at the bottom left here to create a new app. So let's go there and create a new app. And let's give it a name. I hope no one else is doing this. There we go, reserve app name. So I should be quick with this one, because otherwise there are going to be some funny people here in the room who try to reserve that same name. I should have put a number behind it. Okay, so that should actually work. It says it's taking a long time. Probably like 20 people are trying to reserve that same app name now, and Microsoft has, his servers are crashing now. They hadn't expected that this would ever happen. So many people trying to reserve the same app name together.
The last unicorn.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So when do we get maybe we have brought down Azure now or something. Ah, there we go. It actually worked. So Hasselt app is going to be the app that we are submitting. Let's take a look at Visual Studio. It actually compiled the app in release mode. That's good. So we're now at a point that I can say, well, we're ready with the app. So the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go here to project. And in project, I'm going to go to the store menu. And in store, I can actually go here and say associate app with store. I recommend doing that first. So we're going to go here. It says I'm already signed in. That's good. And now it's going to check my developer account. And it's going to look at all the apps I have in the store already. This again is taking a while. Please stop downloading. You can download at home later on. Stop watching Netflix as well. Yeah, there we go. So we called it Hustled App. So that's the one I'm going to associate it with. This is going to make sure that everything within my application, my application manifest, is going to be set correctly. So this actually says down here at the bottom, association was successful. Now, so now this build, this application that we're going to build, the packages that we're going to build in just a second, are already associated with that app name in the store. So the next thing I'm going to do here is go again to store. And now I'm going to say create some app packages. And this opens this little wizard here that asks me what I want to do. I can say I want to upload packages to the store. In this case, I'm going to say yes. You can also say no. What's the difference between the two? If you're going to say yes, it's going to actually create Apex uploads, the file that you can submit to the store. If you're going to say no, it's going to create Apex packages. What's the difference? Well, an Apex package you can actually give you to your neighbor and say you can sideload that onto your device. So if you don't want to submit or publish an app via the store, you can actually copy it on a memory stick and sideload it onto another device. I'm not going to go there, but we are going to submit the app to the store, which probably is going to make us some more money. So I'm going to say yes, upload to the store. It's again checking that it's basically doing the same thing now. I could have done it in one go, actually. So it should find that this app is already associated with the store. That's good. So, and now we're arriving here on the screen, which asks, which is going to say where the app packages are going to be created, the version number, and so on and so forth. So other information, which builds should it actually create? And then we're going to say create. And now if you're doing this and doing nothing else, you can get a cup of coffee because this takes a couple of minutes. Actually, on this machine, it also takes a couple of minutes before this is ready. I'm not going to take a cup of coffee. Actually, I do feel like a cup of coffee, but anyway. So we're going to go back to the store. And while it's compiling, we're already going to start submitting or start preparing the submission, let's say. So I'm going to say start my submission here. And now I can do all the configuration for the app being published in the store. So there's like, this is actually changed a little bit. There's a couple of steps that you have to follow, and when all these steps have been completed, so whenever you have green check marks there on the right, it's actually going to be ready for certification. So let's first, it asks here, step one, let's say, is going to be about pricing and availability. So in here, and I hope everyone can read this, hopefully. Let's make it a bit bigger. So in here, I have the ability to select the price. So that's going to be the base price. Let's say that we make the app free, or we can choose to give it a price in a number of different types of predefined prices, let's say. So let's make it free for now. Of course, a free trial doesn't really isn't really useful if you have a trial. Sorry, if you make it for free. The trial is something that is managed entirely by the store. So when the user installs the app and you define a free trial for X many days, the store will actually make sure that the app stops working after that amount of days. So it's not something that you have to do in code. So it's not very useful to give a free trial with a free application. So let's give no free trial. Then we can actually go here and change the prices for custom markets. So if you click here on show options, you get a list of all supported countries where you can actually give a different price to your app. So, for example, let's go to the Netherlands and let them pay for this. Yeah? So let's say that we are the Dutch for 10 euros for this thing, and we can also, for example, say that people in I don't know where. In Slovenia, they can't use this app. For some reason, maybe some copyright issues, so we're going to say, well, in Slovenia, they're not going to happen. So the next thing that we can do, so now we've put all the pricing ready, the next thing we can do is actually can also create a new sale. So for example, Christmas is almost here, so why not make our app, or give a reduction on our app? Come on. New sale for the Christmas period. Apparently we can't give a sale. Try that again, one more time. No, not happening. Maybe I should have done this in Chrome. Oh, shouldn't have said that here. Oopsie. You stay there. Try one more time, but I don't think it's... Ah, there we go. You have to click four times, it's true. So here we have the ability to set up a sale. For example, let's say it's going to be the Christmas sale. We're going to say that, yeah, it's a bit useless again because the app is free, but we can say, for example, it's $1.99 for the Dutch people, and we can again make it free or give it away at a reduced price for the Dutch people between Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, for example. Okay. See, I have like two reductions already in there. That's right. Who can actually find my app? And we can also control that. The first, by default, selected option is anyone can find the app. So it's going to be available through the search mechanism in the store that actually works. We can also say, well, we don't want to show the app. We want to hide it, but only people who have a direct link to the app can actually find it. That's also an option. This basically limits people from finding it. If you say, well, the app is more or less ready, but let's put it in the app and not make it available to search, that actually is like a beta. It's not really beta, but it can help it. It can help you in not releasing it publicly. You can also, and this is like the beta option for your app, you can say, well, I only make it available for the people who have which are in this list that I'm going to type in here. So then those people get an invite and they can actually download the app. And finally, you can say, well, we don't want to make the app retrievable at all. Only people who have a promotion code, and this is a Windows 10 thing, only can find the app. So let's for now say, well, everyone can find the app. Let's go here. This one is also an interesting one. Windows 10 device families. So we've talked this morning, or Jan has talked this morning, about device families. So the desktop device family, the mobile device family, the Surface Hub, and so on and so forth, so HoloLens. We can say, well, we actually can control who can actually, or which device can actually download the app. So as you can see here, by default, desktop and mobile are checked. There's no other submission yet ready at this point. So I say, well, the two device families can download the app. And here at the bottom, I also have some control over what happens in the future. Tomorrow, the HoloLens is released. Not happening tomorrow, but anyway. What is going to happen with the app? Is it going to be automatically available for the HoloLens or not? And we can control that if Microsoft automatically makes it available for other device families, or that they have to go by me and ask if it's okay to release it for another device family. Organizational licensing is another new thing that actually is linked with what I'm going to say after this thing. It's actually about how the app is going to be available to be published automatically in business stores. So in company stores, companies can actually set up their own store within the company. So that's useful for big companies who limit the amount of apps that you can actually install as a user. You can actually from here control if that's possible or not. And the last thing here at the bottom is the publish date. This is actually, it may seem like a useless one. Why would I actually want to control my publish date, my publication date? Well, the default is put it in certification, and as that's ready, when that's ready, put it in store. But some companies actually release apps to go hand in hand with the marketing campaign, and they of course want full control over when the app is going to be available. So you can say, well, do it manually or do it at a certain point in time. So you can actually schedule it. Note that with that last option, actually all options, it's sometimes visible for one person, but not for the next person, because of the simple reasoning that it has to propagate on all servers, and that sometimes takes a couple of minutes, hours even, before it's actually available for everyone. So we're good to go, save all this, and now the first steps are the pricing and availability has been set. Let's go back to Visual Studio while it's doing that. And actually, oh, this is already ready. It has created my package successfully. That's good, that's just about in time because we're almost there here. I must have missed something, but anyway. So normally this should be green. So I probably missed something somewhere. Sorry? I think it's because there's an empty promotion there. think it's not accepting that. No, no. So now we're here in app properties. I can select a category for this app. This is a difficult one. A shopping app, maybe. I don't know. Then we can also control the or set the age rating. I think this is definitely a suitable for adults only application, right? Because of the explicit content in there. There's some more things on age settings specific to certain countries. Do pay attention to that if you have content which can be seen as explicit in certain countries. The hardware preferences block. This one actually has no real influence on what happens with your app. This one actually controls what people will see. So for example, I'm downloading the app on a device without a touch screen. The store will actually notice that, and the app has said, I want to have a touch screen, I need a touch screen. The user is still gonna be able to download the app, but he's gonna get a warning because of the fact that hardware preferences are not matching with what the hardware setting or the hardware set contains. So it doesn't really prohibit users from downloading anything. It actually shows a simple warning. And then app declarations, some miscellaneous things here, like we're using purchases, but not going through the store, accessibility guidelines. The app can be installed on SD cards. All these things we can actually control. All good, done, saved. And now we're in Visual Studio here. So it has created the app packages. So as you can see, it has created version 1.1.00, and it has created those AppX uploads. So the AppX uploads are the packages I will need to upload to the store. So let's copy this path. And we should go here, and there's a green one over there. And now we're in the Packages tab. And in here, I can now select my files. There we go. And let's, for example, you have to upload all of them, but I'm going to upload just one because the internet is not that fast. Hopefully it works. There we go. So it's now uploading my app. And when it's ready uploading, it's automatically going to do a quick check if the upload that I've done is actually an app, because you can upload whatever you want, and it's going to say, well, that's not an app. So this should actually work. It's soon going to change into analyzing package or something, and then it should give us a green light, and then we can upload the other packages as well. So analyzing package, there we go. Hopefully that doesn't take too long. And after that has finished, it should actually jump a bit late, a bit lower. Yeah, yesterday it went really quick. So I actually said, let's wait for it. But yeah, there we go. So it's actually saying, well, that's an app package. Congratulations, you've done something good. And it has analyzed that we at least need a 10.2.4.0 universal platform. So that's the RTM version where my app is built against, because I'm not running the pre-release modes here. All right, we're ready. Upload all the other packages and so on and so forth. There's one more thing that you need to do. Go to the descriptions here. You can also upload some images and so on and so forth. I'm not going to show you all that. And when all that is ready, this button here down at the bottom is going to be enabled. So you're going to upload your app or submit your application for certification. Now, there's a couple of things I want to show you still. In here, it says here at the bottom, launch the Windows Application Certification Kit, also known as the WEC. Yeah. Bit of a weird name, but anyway. Have you launched the WEC today? Yes, I've WEC today. I find it also always a weird name, but anyway. So I'm not going to run the certification toolkit, because actually it starts, the screen will flicker while it's running the app. I'm going to open it quickly. There we go. It's actually currently already at version 10. So this is a number of tests it's going to run against your application code. It takes can take 10 minutes or so, sometimes a bit faster, five to 10 minutes. Depends, you can actually enable or disable some tests. Why is this useful? I don't recommend uploading an app to the store without running this thing, because it will get you, it will automatically prevent you from, for example, forgetting an application icon. It will say, "Ooh, you have not included an application icon." So it actually prevents you from submitting something to the store. And Microsoft saying, "Yeah, you don't, you haven't done a good job." So it will pick out, it will pick up the weird things or the missing things in your application. Also, some things that you are doing with the API which are not allowed are also going to be captured by this certification toolkit or the WEC. All right. So I haven't run the WEC. I've uploaded it anyway, so it's not going to pass certification anyway. One more thing that I want to show you here is, let's go back to the, let's go over here. So what I've shown you up until now is the actual submission of the app, the price setting of the app. You also have control over a couple more things, like the IAPs. The IAPs stand for in-app purchases. Again, a bit of an abbreviation that you have to learn here. So you can create a new IAP, which, for example, could be, I've tested here with coins. Imagine that you have built a game and people can buy coins in that game. So, for example, I'm going to create a coin IAP. And then again, for that IAP, I can start setting the properties, I can start setting the price, and so on and so forth. I'm not going to show it all this to you, so there's one thing that I do want to show you here. There's a difference between the type of IAP. There's two types, actually, a consumable and a durable. Now, what's the difference? Well, a consumable is something that can be consumed, hence the name, like coins, for example. So you're in the game and you pay, I don't know, a sword or something, I don't know, inside of the game. That's a consumable. A durable, actually, you buy it once and you keep on using it as much as you want. For example, a magazine that you buy or a book that you buy is a durable. You buy it once and you keep on using it. Again, set all the properties for this thing, and you're good to go. The final thing, this session was actually called Store and Monetization. You can also make some money. Of course, you can sell the app, and hopefully it will sell loads, and you get rich, and you can sit for the rest of your life under a palm tree. Doubt it, but anyway. You can also sell ads or make publicity for your app. So you can go here and say, "I want to monetize with ads." And then it gives you a little explanation on what you need to do with your application. You also need to install the application, the advertising toolkit, which you can download from Visual Studio Gallery. The actual lab for this particular thing does that for you and shows you how to do that. You can also say, "Well, I have more than enough money. I'm going to promote my app so it gets downloaded more often." So you can actually start a new campaign. Something went wrong here. So you can actually create a new campaign for your app to make sure that it appears in the advertisements or within other apps, for example. So your app will then be promoted through other apps. There's a couple of more things here that you can manage here, like push notifications can actually be configured from here. Integration with maps in your app also require that your app is associated with the store, and then you can actually get an API key for the map integration. Those things are managed under services. All right. So that's about it for the Developer Center. I have a couple more things to show you here, and then we're going to wrap it up. So that was the Dev Center. The last thing is the Business Store. Now, the Business Store is not the Business Store is not something that has been widely published, let's say, or Microsoft hasn't been talking about it that much yet. But it is an interesting feature anyway, because basically what it does, you run your device, you have your device, and you can go to the store with it, and you can install applications. Now, when you're at school or you work in a consultancy firm, for example, things are quite often relaxed. You can install whatever you want. But in many large corporations, you cannot. Because of security regulations, you cannot install whatever app you want, because the IT people, they're always a bit scared that you're going to install an application that may run away with their company secrets. So you may not want that. And for that purpose, the Business Store can be interesting, because the Business Store is actually a store managed by the IT, by the company, and they can actually choose which apps you can install as a user on your device. And so they basically pre-purchase apps, let's say, or pre-approve apps if they're free, and you can actually, as a user, then also install an application. That also already worked with Windows 8. The thing hasn't really changed that much. It already existed with Windows 8. In terms of configuration, there's a lot of things to do together with System Center. You have to set up quite a lot of things on servers, but I'm not going to go there. Now, the business store itself has, in fact, changed between Windows 8 and Windows 10. So what you can now do has changed quite a bit. So I think most of this I've already said. So for you as a developer, of course, now how does it get interesting? You as a developer can actually, let's say, sell your application in volume to a company. So imagine that your application has been approved by a large company to be used within their organization. You can actually sell it in volume to them, and they can then give out or hand out licenses to their employees. For you, it's basically the same thing. There's no extra overhead. You can even create a customized version of that app, publish it to the company store for a particular company, and they can start using it. And it's actually a very easy system to get your application out there within large corporations. So how does it actually work? So this is the normal flow. So this is you with your toolbox, building an application and submitting it to the dev center. Normally, and the application gets approved, gets on the servers from the app store, and finally is available in the Windows Store. That's the normal flow. Now, that normal flow already included the ability for businesses, the IT purchaser, who's going to decide, well, we need 1,000 licenses of that application. So we actually have the ability to basically make a sidestep to that business store where the IT purchaser can then buy in volume your application. There we go. It has now been acquired by that organization, and they can distribute it within their organization. Now, there's a little bit of a shortcut for you as a developer. So you as a developer, you can also choose, and that was that one option that we had there in the store for organizational purpose, I think it's called. You can make a sidestep and say, well, I'm going to publish directly for organizations. So via the Dev Center, you can directly publish your application into an organization's app inventory, basically. That is what is possible through that business store. So how does this actually look? Well, assume that you are that IT purchaser who's going to buy 1,000 licenses for your app. You log into the business store. There you get the ability, or you see what apps are available. This is the list of apps that you manage as an IT purchaser. You can also from here directly purchase a number of licenses. And you basically have now that list of approved apps. As a user, the user logs on to his machine, goes to the App Store, and will see here at the top, and this is probably not really visible, so let's zoom in on that a little bit. This is not going to work. There we go. So there's a little extra label here that you, when you go to the store app now, you will not see, because that is a label that appears there if you're linked to a domain, and that domain has an available store in there. The user then clicks on it and actually sees the approved apps for his corporation. And this way, as a developer, you can actually really quickly publish your applications both to the store and to the business store as well. And so with that, it's 10 to 5. I think I'm about done. So I want to thank you for still listening to me at this late hour of the day. And then Jan is going to give away a phone. I think that was at 9:50 that you were giving away, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you.